Today we're continuing through John in John's Gospel in what I'm beginning to call a series without a name, as we're following John's Gospel each week during the season of Eastertide. And each week we're wrestling with a different aspect of how we can grow in our understanding of the resurrection, but also grow in our understanding of our own relationship with a risen Lord. Friends, I invite you to listen with open hearts and minds as we encounter God's word together from the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, beginning with the first verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, if you're a sports fan like me, I'm guessing that you may have been glued to your television or phones throughout the weekend following the NFL draft. I'm seeing a couple of smirks, maybe a little bit of guilty smirks there. I kept an eye on the draft throughout the weekend, and I always loved this event, and I had particular interest in it this year, not only to see who my Green Bay Packers would draft, much like I know some of you are looking at your teams. I see some Bills fans and some Eagles fans and some Commanders fans, of course, and I'm sure I'm forgetting folks, and I apologize. Let me know afterwards. But I had another reason I was really interested in the draft this year, because for the very first time, it was being held in my home state of Michigan, in Detroit. And I don't know if some of you may have seen that the draft this year broke, really shattered the attendance record, and that 700,000 people attended the event from Thursday to Saturday. Just remarkable to think about that. And this morning, I was thinking about that a lot, thinking, how often do that many people get together and do the same thing? Get together for the same purpose, sharing that same purpose in this divided and broken world in which we live. Sports have a really unique way of doing that, don't they? Of bringing people together. And the NFL draft is a time where these 32 teams that talk trash about each other throughout the year, and there's probably still some of that going on during the draft, but they're getting together for this purpose of strengthening their team and building their hopes for their future. It's about a shared connection. And our reading this morning is all about finding such a shared connection. A place, a central locus of connection with God and with each other. Our reading today from John is from what's known by scholars as the Farewell Discourse. It's really a four-chapter monologue by Jesus that occurs after the washing the disciples' feet in what's called the Last Supper in John's Gospel, and goes for four chapters of Jesus just talking. Soon after this, he'll be arrested, and the passion narrative of John begins. But before that, Jesus spends these four chapters talking to his disciples and essentially saying goodbye. and giving them instructions on what to do next. He begins the statement in our text today by saying, "I am the true vine." If you remember from last week with "I am the good shepherd," anytime we hear Jesus say, "I am," our ears need to perk up in John's gospel. Because here, Jesus is doing something really powerful. Not only is he echoing the personal name of God, "I am," but he is also aligning himself with God's purpose and God's mission in the world. There are a couple really powerful things about this "I am" statement, the "I am the true vine." First is that it's the final "I am" statement in John's gospel. It is the very last "I am" statement, the very last thing Jesus aligns himself with in God's mission before his arrest, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. The second thing I really want you to know about this "I am" statement, this final "I am" statement, is that it's the only "I am" statement that has something after it. For you grammar geeks out there, it's the only "I am" with a predicative nominative. I struggle to say that. He says, "I am the vine," aligning himself with God's mission, but then what does he do? He says, "You are the branches." So in Jesus' final "I am" statement, he's not only aligning himself with God's mission and purpose and essence in the world, he is also calling his disciples, reminding them that they too are aligned with God's mission, God's purpose in the world. "I am the vine. You are the branches." As Susan did earlier with our kids and talked to our kids about, I did not know I'd become a tree for that. But as Susan reminded us in the children's time, this is a relational statement. How we relate to Christ, the true vine, but also how we relate to one another, the other branches there. And Jesus uses a very common image of the day, vines, grapevines. Grape growing, wine making was an essential part of the first century Near Eastern world of Jesus' day. So much so that it is a central, a key image throughout the Old Testament. It becomes a key image for not only God's care of the world, but also of God's care for the people of Israel. In fact, the location, Carmel, means in Hebrew, the vineyard of God. Because of this, everyone in John's audience, everyone John writes his gospel to, knew what every vine grower knows. The best grapes are grown closest to that central vine. Because of this, the lateral branches need to be pruned and maintained periodically so they don't tangle and wither. In order to have a fruitful crop, the farmer needs to keep the branches tended closely. The image here that's echoed from the Old Testament is clear. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. God is the grower. And we have a tendency to read Jesus' words here as a judgment. And to be fair, it does sound a little bit judgy. Picking, plucking, pruning, casting out unfruitful branches. But when you have this understanding of how vines are grown and maintained, you see that it's really the language of staying connected. The farther you go from the vine, the less fruitful you will be. It's not a statement so much of judgment as it's a statement of truth. The imperative, then, is to stay connected, to stay in relationship, to embrace one's connection to the vine, Christ, but also one's connection and relationship to the other branches, to one another. We bear good fruit when we remain connected to the vine, to Christ, but also when we remain connected to one another. Back in the late first century, when John writes his gospel, he is writing to a community who's facing a crisis of connection. John writes to a community of displaced Jewish Christians. Because of their faith in Christ, they now found themselves expelled from their synagogues, from their homes of worship, shunned by their communities, perhaps even by their own families, because of their faith in Jesus. Because of this, they were lacking a sense, a feeling of connection. All the connection they had ever known has been taken from them. And now they're struggling to figure out what's next, who they are, where they belong, that they might find community and meaning. Now, we may not be facing the same issues as John's first century community, but I think it's fair to say that we too, in our 21st century world, face a crisis of connection. We live in a disconnected, disjointed, bitterly polarized, and divided world. Because of that, the associations, the connections we do have are shallow. They're kept at surface level. Often so that these connections, these associations can be distanced from, can be ditched entirely even, as soon as there's even a minor disagreement or issue. Now, while technology has made it easier than ever to stay and remain connected, somehow we as a society keep feeling more and more isolated and alone. Studies show that actually this is most prevalent in the younger generations, with millennials, but also and especially with Generation Z, those coming up into young adulthood right now. It bears truth to what a great comedian once said, as he said that no one ever talks about the miracle that Jesus was a grown man who maintained 12 close friendships. We're isolated. We're alone. We, too, need to find connection, meaning. Friends, thankfully, Jesus' image of himself as the true vine is not one of judgment, but really it's one of grace and encouragement. And this is something that becomes clear only in the resurrection, only on this side of the empty tomb. Because of the resurrection, we are all connected to the vine and to the other branches. This, friends, is good news to John's community in the midst of their isolation and their disconnection. It's good news reminding them that they're not in this whole Christian thing on their own. There's nothing that they can do to lose this connection with Christ and one another. Jesus, as the vine, calls us into relationship with himself, but also with one another. Just as they need connection, just as they need relationship with Christ, they also need each other. It's a reminder that we are wired for connection. We as humans are wired for connection with God and with one another. The imperative then is to find ways to maintain that connection. And Jesus uses a powerful word. I've been trying really hard not to say it this whole time throughout the text because I really want to emphasize it here. And that could be my favorite churchy word there is. Abide. Abide. The Greek word there is meno. It appears about 120 times in the New Testament, but 40 of those are in John's gospel. 11 of those 40 are in chapter 15 of John's gospel, our reading today alone. It's a word of connection, to stay put, to remain, to be steadfast, to abide, to connect. It is the image John's people needed for the time, to abide, to remain steady, to remain faithful in relationship with God and with one another, to not give up on one another. Here, Jesus tells his disciples, and really all who would call themselves his disciples, that when we remain connected, when we abide, we bear fruit. We bear the fruit, the good things of the Christian life. Without Christ, without one another, we can't bear fruit. We need one another. We need Christ. Just as it was good news for John's community in the first century, it's good news for us today as well, friends. Because whether we want to be or not, we are inseparably linked to one another through Christ, the true vine. Yes, that even means those with whom you disagree about everything. We are connected to one another. And there's nothing we can do to lose this connection. But our path to living a Christian life, to living a life in gratitude to God and participating in God's kingdom and justice in the world, depends on our embrace of it. To bear good fruit and abide in Christ's love means to simply abide, to remain connected to the vine and to the branches. Now, it seems like a tall task, but as I shared in the opening, we do get glimpses of this if we pay attention in our daily world. Whether it's something like the NFL draft, or something like the eclipse at the beginning of this month, where all of us had our focus and our wonder and awe on the same thing. The dividing lines of our culture and world go away, and somehow, even if for just a brief, fleeting moment, we are together, doing the same thing. Friends, in a world which resists connection, we're called to abide. We're called, in a world that isolates and distances and separates, we are called to stay put, to remain, to hold steady and steadfast, to abide in relationship with God and with one another. That's why I'm so glad. It's such a fitting thing that this is our text today, right before our Deacon's Tea event. And I tried to catch most of you as you came in, but if I didn't, I really, really hope you make it to this event today. Don't worry if you didn't RSVP. I promise I'll take any flack for that. You're welcome to be here. We need you here. Our community needs you here. Oftentimes in the church, when we talk about fellowship, we're simply talking about getting together, having good food, and hanging out, which fellowship absolutely is all of those things. But it's so much more, too. And our text today reminds us of what more that is. When we get together for fellowship, we are participating in what Jesus calls us to do, to abide. It's a reminder that we need one another. Just as much as we need to be connected to Christ, we need to be connected to one another through him. Friends, when we get together for these times, it is a witness to our broken and divided world that there are things that bring us together. There are communities, there are institutions that do not seek to divide us, but seek to bring us together in one place for a common purpose. Friends, on this side of the resurrection, we are reminded that Jesus is the vine, we are his branches. We are reminded that we are inseparably connected to Christ and one another through the empty tomb. Friends, as we go out into the world, as we seek to live our lives bearing fruit, may we too abide. May we abide in our relationship with God, in our relationship with one another, that we might bear the good fruit of God's love, peace, and justice in our world who so longs for it. Amen.